Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Got Stitcher? We're on it. So get it. Stitcher is an award-winning provider of news and talk radio for your mobile phone. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
A WWE superstar is going to be out for at least 6 weeks. What TNA talent wants to come back to the WWE? And who's going to be live all the way through 2012? You'll find all this and much, much more on this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Off the Mark. We are the only podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's start the show by discussing some recent news. So John Cena has surgery and he's going to be out for at least 6 weeks. What's going to happen with this now, Aaron?
Yeah, this is really big news. And they're not saying at least 6 weeks. The speculation is that a lot of times these surgeries take about 6 weeks to recover from. And you do have to be careful. I mean, John Cena is the golden goose, you know, for WWE. I mean, plain and simple, he is. And so you can't force him back until he is ready. My prediction is that he's going to be out and that they're going to start some sort of angle between him and Punk where he will probably wrestle Punk actually at Survivor Series. And before that, so he's going to have a feud going on there, and Punk will probably have another feud going on. So they'll be having him in within two feuds, which is smart. And I'm guessing, from a lot of reports we've read online, they're looking for Punk Big Show again.
Oh, geez. Seriously?
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous. Completely ridiculous. But something that I find very interesting is that Jeff Hardy may be wanting to come back to the WWE. And there's some speculation on what it is. Some people are saying it's money, but Now people are saying that that's not the case, that he's very well off.
Yeah.
What do you think? And so something also that happened on Impact was they teased that already between a little thing with him and Austin Aries saying he's set. He's a Hall of Famer. Do you think that he's just going to come back for the WWE for one last run and then he's done?
You know, I could see him doing that. I don't think that he's going to leave TNA yet, though. I mean, Jeff Hardy is still pretty young and he still has some good years ahead of him. I'm not saying that he hasn't already peaked. He probably already has. But that's not to say that he doesn't have five good years left in him, you know, where, you know, at the end of the fifth year, it's going to be like, all right, now it's all completely downhill from here. I could see him leaving for WWE. I don't think it would be that soon, though. I could see him being with TNA for another year.
Well, his contract doesn't run out till 2013, so it'll be interesting to see, you know, what his plans are and what his reasonings are. You know, is he going to come back with Matt? Because Matt's not doing anything.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, I think that Matt should come back to TNA. I think that would really help them out a lot. And I really think that Jeff Hardy, he is excelling in TNA right now. If you put him over at WWE, they're going to throw him on SmackDown to try to get the younger kids to be all happy with that. But what do you do with him? You know, I mean, what do you do with Jeff Hardy to make him much better with his next WWE run?
And you're going to have to take the Swanton away from Sin Cara now. Because, you know, you can't have the same finishing move. By the way, I thought they stopped doing super kicks, and I saw a couple super kicks in some WWE shows recently, but whatever.
Oh, they must have been members of the Alliance then.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's an old joke.
Yes. So Matt Morgan has re-signed with TNA.
Mm-hmm.
Is he the leader of Aces and Eights? Because I think it's going to be Jeff Jarrett.
And that's I mean, that's what we had talked about before. I don't know if I had mentioned it before on the program that I said that maybe Matt Morgan could be it. I think that you're going to see a mix of some mid and some high level stars. Obviously, we know that Luke Gallows is there, but if you have Luke Gallows and Matt Morgan and Jeff Jarrett as being like the three guys behind it, I think that'd be a pretty big deal. I think that raises Luke Gallows to be a higher quality heel, and I think that helps elevate Matt Morgan, too. Matt Morgan, to me, is on the cusp of being that main eventer. I really feel that way. I think that Matt Morgan could be a TNA world champion, but you also have to market him properly. I mean, he's a big guy, and you know, he's an okay wrestler for what he does. I mean, he's a better wrestler than like Goldberg, for example. So I think that he could do wonders in TNA. I was in favor of him going to WWE as well. So I'm glad he's there. I just hope they have a good program in place for him.
Yeah, I completely understand. And you're right, Matt Morgan is a good wrestler for his size, definitely. He's one of those freaks. But has he really resigned, or did he just show up because his contract wasn't up?
That could be the case. I think he's going to be in TNA, though. I don't see them having him be there without having something in the bag for him. I just think that'd be kind of weird. But, Eddie, let's move on, though, to one of the biggest stories, I think, is that TNA is going to stay live through 2012.
Which is a big deal, because that means we get to see them live, actually, twice, potentially.
Well, just the one time.
I mean, you want to go the day we get there?
No, that'd be pretty tough to do.
Because we'd get at the hotel about 6, their time, and we just have to leave by 6:30, you know, without eating and driving straight there. Which I don't know how long of a drive it is, but
I'm sure that it would probably be pretty tough to do. But this actually, it is kind of it's good news for us because we're going to be down there during that time. And so we get to go see it together. I've seen a couple of house shows, but to actually watch Impact where anything could happen, I think that's pretty cool. And I'm looking forward to that. I really am.
Do you want to pay for the tickets? As in like actually pay so we can sit like ringside?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I think they're like $20 or $30.
Yeah, I would do that.
They're not much. I mean, we might as well just go ahead and do it. Might as well just get them for both nights.
Now, what do you think, though? Like, why is this such a big deal?
It's a big deal because I can think of 1,000 jokes, but like it's only going to be between you and I. But realistically, it's good because you don't know what to expect. Mm-hmm. I think it's also bad because they're taping on Thanksgiving. That means they're going to be live on Thanksgiving. Why would you do that?
You know,
that's my beef.
They didn't mention that. I bet that that's a recorded show.
You think so?
It has to be.
Because the thing is, you think of money, all right? I think the bottom line, all right? Usually fly people in on Wednesday. You have a meeting on that. I'm sorry. Yeah, on that Wednesday. You fly them Wednesday afternoon. Meeting Wednesday night. Thursday to show. You fly them back Friday. So that's 3 days. Flying on that Wednesday, there's no way you're going to – I mean, there's going to be tons of problems. There always is with airlines around that time.
And
why take that chance?
And we'll have to find out about that and then report on it later. But, Andy, let's move on to WWE programming for this week. So biggest news was that Punk retained at Night of Champions.
But it's really weird how he retained because the match was kind of a weird match. I still don't know how to explain the match, but it was good, but – it was also not good, but the ending was so messed up because it was, you know, a belly to back suplex. Both shoulders were down. Because of that, the tie goes to, the person who has the title, which is CM Punk. So CM Punk is now your WWE champion again. Mm-hmm. And it's all because of because both shoulders being down.
A technicality.
Yeah, a technicality. He wins. So he's the champion. He's not the best in the world anymore, then, is what I'm thinking, is what they're trying to get with.
You want to say yeah, that? Well, maybe not. I mean, obviously, he tied with John Cena, so.
Yeah. And the other thing also is that because of this, they're talking about maybe even doing instant replay with matches, which I find actually kind of hilarious.
No.
Do the wrestlers get to throw the red flag out of their pants?
It's wrestling. It is scripted, okay? It is scripted sports, plain and simple, okay? It is scripted sports. You cannot expect any wrestling fan to be like, oh, well, they're putting instant replay. Wait, what? that'd be like watching Lost and being like, oh, they should institute instant replay into Lost. Why? Absolutely. Like, why? I don't get it. I, dumb. Let's move on, Andy. I really don't want to talk about that. So we had alluded to earlier Punk taking on John Cena at Hell in a Cell, but he might be taking on Big Show instead. So what do you see as Punk's opponent for Hell in a Cell?
Well, I think it's interesting because I forgot Big Show hasn't been around for a while.
And they did it very well. He just wasn't there, but they, you know, he kind of like faded, if that makes sense. They fade him away. That's actually how you're supposed to do. So you give a guy time off. I'm assuming he's just healing, resting for, you know, a few weeks. Because I think it's been 3 or 4 weeks since we've seen him last.
Yeah.
And, you know, good for them for doing that. But it's going to be interesting that he's going to be at Hell in the Cell. Or, you know, because it's going to have to be a Hell in the Cell match. Mm-hmm. I mean, it has to be. It's a championship match. It's, you know, I think it should be anyways. But Big Show won't work well with that, though. That's the thing.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of Big Show picking up CM Punk, trying to ram him into the cage, and then Punk moving out of the way and pushing him instead. It's going to be a crappy match, plain and simple. So, but one of the things I thought was very interesting this week on WWE programming, they really showcased the tag division, and they were making tag teams, you know, Reigns and Kara, Epico and Primo, the primetime players, Kofi and Truth. And on SmackDown, all they focused on were the tag teams, including your boy, Andy, and your favorite new tag team, Daniel Bryan and Kane.
Alex Riley is wrestling again?
Not yet.
He's injured. He'll be out for a few weeks. No, but the other thing that I thought was really interesting, too, was... I watched Saturday Morning Slam, and as much as I want to sit there and slam it, they had a tag match on there as well. So they promoted the tag on that to the little kids, which I am actually kind of impressed that they went this route. But they also did it on, you know, like you said, they did it on Raw, they did it on SmackDown, and they're probably this week's the Saturday Morning Slam is going to be the same way.
Now, what do you think, though, of Daniel Bryan and Kane?
Them wrestling as a tag team, I like it. I like the anger management stuff they did. Where they go from here, that's what I'm not sure of. Where do you go with these guys? Because there's a lot of things they could do.
And, of course, the biggest news of the week was that they won the tag titles.
They won it at Nia Champions. I can't believe they actually won it. But then I did like the fact that they kept on saying, I am the tag team champions. Mm-hmm. And they kept saying that back and forth. I thought that was hilarious. I thought they did a lot of good things together. I think Kane, since you can tell Kane's going to be done probably the next year or two. It's kind of interesting to have him do this so he's not wrestling as hard. But it's also comedy, which I think I can see, you know, Kane actually, that's how he really is in real life. He likes to do the comic thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's enjoying it right now. I think he's going to have one more run, and then he's going to call it. And it's going to be weird seeing him go.
Maybe. I don't know. But you are right about one thing, which is that in a tag match, the thing that's nice is that you are not necessarily the focus, that the team is. And that you can wrestle half as much, and you don't have to go and exert your body nearly to the extent that you would in a singles match. And that's very important, because you pair Kane with Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan can do the high flying moves. He can get people excited for the match. And Kane just has to go out there and do a few signature moves, and that's it. And that's all you have to do. And guess what? You're fine.
Exactly. And that's the best part about having the tag teams. You know, you have a lot of guys. You have Rey and Sin Cara. You have the primetime players, Kofi and Truth, Epico and Primo. You have all those guys that they are not needed to wrestle as hard. But then it's going to – the longevity of it, it's going to be great. It's going to be great to see them go the distance. So,
yeah, and I got to say this much. I am glad that they're trying to revamp the tag division. It was in desperate need. And I'm glad – because Mysterio and Sin Cara, that is a perfect route to go for those two, because they are both really – they're fan favorites. Mm-hmm. And that you go that route until like Royal Rumble, and then you turn those two against each other.
Exactly. You turn Sin Cara heel. You have him come out, bam, he's a heel. You have him and Rey feud up until WrestleMania, and they steal the show.
Mm-hmm.
And the sad thing is, that should probably be the last match of the night. It's going to be the first match,
mm-hmm.
which is going to be actually kind of funny, because then they're going to have a women's match because they don't want anyone to remember that match. So, but yeah, so WWE program this week has been very weird. I got to say, I can't say anything. Well, I can't really say anything good or bad, but anyways, we need to thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or a podcaster? Or you're just not happy with the web host? you need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try free. You know, see how easy it is. And make sure you use special coupon code OFFTHEMARK. You'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. What are you going to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite of our web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out the Section 86 Off The Mark page. You can do a couple things. You can get some stuff from HighSpots.com, or you can actually click on the banner at the top and go to WWE Shop, and you can actually save $10 if you spend more than $70 on your order. Let's move on to TNA Wrestling for this week. So, something interesting happened. The tag teams, of course, we have AJ and Kurt and Chavo and Hernandez. AJ and Kurt come out and they challenge Chavo and Hernandez. Great match. AJ is about to go for the win, and bam, the tag champs come in, Kaz and Daniels, and Hogan comes out and says, "Hey, it's a three-way Bound for Glory."
Mm-hmm.
Kind of weird how this happened.
I actually kind of wish that it was a four-way. I wish that they would have thrown another tag team in there that, maybe could have used some love. AJ and Kurt are top tier performers in the TNA world. They're at the very top, plain and simple. Chavo and Hernandez, I think that's a good mid-level team. I really wish you had a team like Generation Me you could throw in there. I think that would be something really nice to do. If you could throw that in there, make it a fatal four-way, and then, you decide whether it's first to pin or eliminator. I think that would be kind of nice if they would have gone that route. However, though, I think that this is good. This is a few feuds that they have ready to go. And then they have an idea for later on down the road, for these three teams to feud with each other. Now, the next bit of news, of course, that we had speculated and we knew that this was going to happen, but Robert Roode, Bobby Roode, and James Storm is set for Bound for Glory. They had a match that went into double DQ because, of course, those two are just going to go at it. And they're making this a huge top tier level feud. I mean, this is going to be the second main event, of the night, plain and simple. And so these guys are set for Bound for Glory. Do you think that they should end this feud at Bound for Glory, or do you think that it should go a couple more pay-per-views?
No, I think it's going to go a little bit longer, and I also wouldn't be surprised if when Austin actually drops the title, I wouldn't be surprised to see, Robert and Storm actually wrestle for the title again. That's what I think they're going to eventually do, but for now, they should not end it. They should have the match go on, but it should be a match where it's so bad that they both need help to the back, and then you don't see them for a few weeks. That's what I think they should do with it.
Yeah.
What they're going to do, I'm kind of looking forward to see how this thing plays out. There's a lot of things that you can do with this. A lot. You can almost say that Robert Roode's, the head of Aces and Eights, if you want to do that. You could say the same thing about James Storm. And, I mean, there's so many things you could add into this feud, or they could just say, no, oh, it's done. They come back in a few months, bam, start it back up. It just depends. Yeah. So here's one thing also. TNA's doing it, and I think they're going to do a bad job of it, is that they're trying to turn Austin Aries more of a heel-like person. You heard it, actually it was on Impact Wrestling this week. You heard that he kind of did a heelish thing when he was talking to Jeff Hardy, saying it's not him versus Jeff, it's him making his way to basically be a Hall of Famer. I find that weird that he made such a big deal about it because Jeff didn't say anything. He was like, yeah, whatever. I find that weird.
Well, I think what they want to do is if face versus face isn't going to get nearly the amount of buys as a face versus heel, plain and simple. And Jeff Hardy, if he is considering leaving, TNA wants to make him as happy as possible. And if being a fan favorite is his favorite thing to do, then why not make Austin Aries a heel? And why not make people hate Austin Aries? Why not make people boo him and cheer Jeff Hardy that much more instead of trying to divide the cheers? You don't want to do that. And Austin Aries, honestly, he works really well as a heel. And when he had that transition into a face role, I mean, he is cocky, plain and simple. And he seems like he's probably a jerk in real life, and I'm sure he is. But why not give that attitude and actually make it where you have to give him lessons. You really do. Because if he is trying to be a heel and you really want to turn him more into a heel, you're going to have to do it very soon. Bound for Glory is in 5 weeks. next week on Impact, you have to have him hit Jeff Hardy with the chair. And then you have to have him, you know, like make this big stink of it. And then the next week's show, he explains why he did that and explains why the fans are turning their backs on him, you know, and stuff like that. That's what I would do.
But here, you know, they could actually bring Matt back for this. Bring Matt in, have him beat up Matt. Matt's a gone then. You should have him come in for one night so he doesn't touch Jeff. You can almost do something like that. Kind of just kind of teasing the heel. See how the crowd reacts. Because even if he beats up Jeff, there's a chance that the crowd could just not care. They're like, we want Austin Aries. We don't care who he's facing. You'd almost have to have him, well, potentially beat up Hulk Hogan before he turns heel. But they, you know, the same thing has worked what they're doing with CM Punk. He's now more heelish, but we'll see what
people
they do. Yeah, the other thing also that happened was that Aries lost to Bully Ray. Even though it was, you know, Bully Ray hit him with his chain wallet, he still lost, which I thought that was kind of weird. That, well, it'll be interesting to see where they go from this, actually. So let's move on to our weekly topic. Aaron has his top five iconic finishers. So let's hear it, Aaron.
Yeah, so, you know, WWE put out their top 50 finishing moves, and a while back I did top five iconic finishers, and I just kind of had it waiting there. So it's actually kind of funny to see where these are to where they were chosen on WWE's list. It's actually, like, really, really funny because we're close on quite a few of them. So iconic finishers. These are not the absolute best finishers because obviously the Vertebraker would be in there. The Canadian Destroyer would be in there. You know, those are really cool moves. These are iconic. So number five, figure four leg lock. Very iconic finisher. Mm-hmm. Ric Flair was the one that perfected it. Jeff Jarrett uses it. And then you also see other people use it from time to time. Number four, the attitude adjustment. Or the FU, as it used to be called.
I prefer to hear the FU.
Yes. The reason that it's so iconic is because, you know, it's the person who uses it. You know, and that was, I think, perfect for John Cena. And the fact that he was able to pick up people who are twice his size and is able to throw them over, you know, kind of a weird take on the Death Valley Driver. So that's definitely number four. Number three. Hulk Hogan's leg drop. It is one of the worst finishing moves. Honestly, it is one of the worst. You know, it's up there with like Big Show's WMD, you know, Brodus Clay's splash, you know, like this. It's a, kind of a dumb move, but it's Hulk Hogan. And he used that move for so long and he put away so many great people with it. And Hulk Hogan, the charisma he had just... That's why it's so iconic. Which brings me to my number two, another charismatic figure, the Rock Bottom. Definitely very iconic. It's one of those moves where you see it and it's, you know what's happening, you know, and it looks somewhat devastating too.
I prefer to call it the bookend.
The bookend wasn't as devastating.
No, it was just a weak judo throw.
Yeah, it was. But the number one, which is the same as WWE's, it was the Stone Cold Stunner. That is one of the most iconic moves of all time. Kick somebody and then you give them a 3/4 cutter, you know?
Oh,
like that.
Funny, really. Fun fact about that. Mr. Belding actually did that in a wrestling event over the weekend.
I'm sorry. Who?
Mr. Belding from Saved by the Bell. Dennis Haskins.
Okay.
Just want to point that out. Fun fact.
Okay. That's that is awesome, Andy. But those are my top five iconic finishers.
Great job on the iconic finishers, by the way. And I do agree with some of them. I almost want to throw the people's elbow in before the Rock Bottom, but that's just my thing. But yeah, figure four, I almost would want to put the sharpshooter in there, but yeah. Oh well.
Yeah.
So. Anyway, so that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.